So I can't say I blame them in this story for not knowing what to make of things. Cleopas and his companion walking on the road to Emmaus. I can't blame them for just wondering what to make of things because this has not played out the way they expected it to. They expected to have a king that would come and rule and lead. And what they got was a man, the Son of God, who came and taught them how to love and how to serve. And he ended up being crucified, and he died, and he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. So of course, they weren't sure what to make of this. How are they supposed to now go and live their lives in response to Jesus' resurrection in this world? When we read this story, three important points happen. And the first of those is that when they are walking along on this journey and they're unsure and they don't know how to proceed, Jesus appears. They don't know it's him, but he appears nonetheless. And he gives them the scripture. And he shows them about how even before he was among them, the scripture was there, guiding them, leading them, showing them the way. From before he was on the scene, telling them to live their lives in accordance with loving God and loving your neighbor, that it's on these two things hanging all the law and prophets, and that when Jesus came, he illuminates this for them, showing them how they're called to love those around them, serve as he served them, that the way that you care for the least of these among you is the way you care for me, that Jesus was illuminating a scripture that had been there all along and will always be there all along to guide them. The second important thing that happens is as they've heard this scripture and it's dwelling within them and it's just burning within them, they reach home, and this stranger in their midst is going to proceed on, and they feel compelled to welcome him in. They feel compelled to say, come into our home, dine with us. And when they welcome him in and they break bread together with this man, their eyes are opened to the fact that Jesus is in their midst. Jesus is literally in the midst of them. And the third thing that happens, the third point, is then they go and they proclaim this. They go out into the world and they tell their friends and their neighbors and everyone who will hear this good news that when they were lost and unsure, God was with them and gave them the scripture to guide them. And when they saw someone else who was lost or alone out in the world, they welcomed him in and found that Jesus was dwelling in the midst of them. They go out and they proclaim this story. They proclaim Jesus' resurrection, that he is king. He is their king, who taught them how to love, who taught them how to serve, who saved them and promised them everlasting life, but who guides them even still. Now, I don't blame anybody here for being unsure sometimes about how to live in this world in the face of the resurrection. I will tell you myself, I wonder every day how I should be living my life in the face of Jesus' resurrection. Yes, I know I'm saved, and that's wonderful, and yes, it fills my heart to know I have everlasting life and salvation, but then I need to go and actually live my life day to day, and sometimes I'm not sure how to do that, and that's okay. I've had person after person come up to me these weeks in Easter saying, admitting, slowly coming to it with a little bit of guilt, like, I'm not sure I know how to live in the face of the resurrection, and it's okay. We're all figuring this out together. But while we figure this out together, how to go out and live our lives, we have these three important points to guide us, the same three important points that these two men on the road to Emmaus found. That one, when you are lost or alone or unsure in this world, unsure of how to respond to what you find in this world, know that God is present to you. God is present to you in the Scripture. Jesus is there to illuminate it for you in your life, showing you how to be people of justice and love and mercy in a world where Jesus is present, if we just look. The second point is that when we find someone else who is lost or alone or unsure in this world, that's our opportunity to welcome them in. To welcome them into our hearts, to welcome them into our home, just like they did to invite their brothers and sisters around the table to break bread with them. And I promise you, when you do that, Jesus is in the midst of you. Literally, Jesus is there. When we say, anytime two or three are gathered, Jesus is there in the midst of us, there's a reason we say that, and it's because when we gather in intimate community with each other like that, Jesus is there. And the third thing we have to do is then go and proclaim it. Go out and live in word and in deed our lives, proclaiming this message that Jesus is our King. Our King that is resurrected. And he's our King not because he ruled over us in his life, but he is King because he taught us how to live, how to love, how to serve. He guides our hearts. He's that burning thing within us that leads us. He is our King, and we proclaim this in how we live. When we follow the words of our baptismal covenant, when we say that we seek and serve Christ and all people, loving our neighbors as ourselves, when we go to be people of justice, mercy, peace, love in this world, like we're called to in our baptism. When we do that, then you and I are living this resurrected world, this world in celebration that Jesus died, rose again to new life, and that we get to spend our lives wondering as we walk the road how we're going to spend this resurrected life together. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God.